So an alignment is a proper positioning, adjustment, or arrangement of things. So like I already said, I talk about all that other stuff all the time. Today we're going to talk about the mind. It's very important, your mind, because your mind goes where your heart goes, your emotions. An example, Eagles are coming, right? They still didn't get a number one wide receiver. Jalen Hurts going to play good. Is he going to play bad? Is their offensive line going to be hell? So if that's in my heart, that's all I'm going to think about. That's all I'm going to think about. We're going to talk about money. Yes! Not money. You can't tell me what to do with my money. Money's important, especially when you've got a lot of responsibilities. And your time. What are you doing with your time? Are you sharing a microphone with me or got your own? Of course. She's so self-sufficient. I was wanting to hit you over the head with it.
Yeah.
All right. I have a lot of scriptures, but I'm going to not waste your time to read them on the board and take 60 years. I'm going to try to be no longer than, that will be about half hour, 45 minutes, Lord willing. The mind. 1 Peter 4:7. I'm going in the ESV. I try not to stick to a certain one because sometimes the Holy Spirit will use one, sometimes you use the other. And I seen this funny T-shirt I want to get. This guy had a shirt that said, "What's uppeth?" Like the King James Version. Like guys get saved and all of a sudden they're speaking King James. I'm like, wow, you had a time machine when you got saved? I got to get that shirt that says, "What's uppeth?" They start talking like that. Yeah, is that how that works? That's strange. Be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. That's pretty simple. Be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Self-control, I could say, well, he don't curse, but in his mind, he thinks about 1,000 things at once. Remember that commercial? This is your brain on drugs. We may not get high no more, but some of us do. We got to really stop that. But this is your brain on Amazon. This is your brain watching your corny shows. This is your brain watching your black and white TV shows. Anybody watch black and white movies still and get depressed? You sit there and just love depression and get depressed and depressed. This is your brain on money. So one person might be just talking nonsense all day, but your brain might be all over the place. And some people, they just run around like a chicken with no head. Whatever it is, we need self-control so we can pray. Because you need your mind to pray. That's just speaking in tongues, praise God. But self-control and sober-minded. Sober-minded, a clear, healthy mind is so important. It's not good when you're praying, you're thinking about, what do I got to do today? How am I going to do it? Where I got to go? That's not prayer. That's just sitting there going over, processing everything that happened this day or yesterday or tomorrow. Imagine if you're talking to your kid and they're doing that and they're just clueless. And kids do that. You talk to them and like, what are you paying attention to? And that's what we do with the Lord. We got to have self-control. You can't just go wherever you think you could go. You can't just say whatever you want to say. You can't just do whatever you want to do. Your prayer is your connection to God. Your prayer is powerful. You're talking to somebody who has all the power, all the knowledge, all the strength in the world. And clear-minded, healthy-minded. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep us in perfect peace if our minds are stayed on him. So the problem's not me changing the situation, me changing my kids' attitude, me changing my money problems, me changing this and that. My problem's changing my eyes on the Holy One of Israel. Put your eyes on Christ. You look back, you're going to get depressed. You look forward, you're going to be anxious. Look up and praise God. He will keep you at perfect peace. So that is the revelation of walking in the Spirit. When you have your eyes on the Lord, you're walking in the Spirit. When you have your eyes on yourself, you're living in your soul realm. When you have your eyes on the world, you're in the flesh. So it's up to you. Satan wants to distract one person with drugs, one person with their job, one person with their responsibilities. If we don't get distracted one way, we're going to get distracted another. But keep your mind on him. Now, Mark, I got a whole tools at work. I got to deal with people. The Lord understands. He understands. But I don't just get obsessed with things in our mind, we're allowed to think of things. But once I get obsessed with everybody at work, where I get obsessed, well, I have coffee, got to drink another coffee, got to get a coffee, got to get another coffee. He's like, is that all I think about? Then you're going to lose your peace. Keep your mind, your eyes, your focus on him, and you will have peace. It all starts with peace. You can't love without peace. You can't have self-control without peace. You can't have goodness without peace. You can't have joy without peace. So the enemy wants to come and steal your peace. So when you focus on your bank account, how much credit card you owe, and how much money you got coming in, that's going to totally steal your peace. All right, Mark, well, how do I do this? How do I do this? Ephesians 6:17, take up the helmet of salvation. But if you go in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it reveals what the helmet of salvation is. It's the helmet of our hope of salvation. Your hope is the helmet. So you could call it a helmet of hope. Who is negative before the Lord? Negative about everything. Cynical. Negative. No good outlook. So when you become saved, the Holy Spirit rewires your mind. But it's up to you to agree with it. All right, today's the day the Lord has made. You wake up, you pray, you're all excited. Now all of a sudden, one little thing happens. Two little things happen. Now you're focusing more on the stupid little problems than this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So my hope, not what Mark can do. My hope is in the Lord. Hope real quick. Jesus is the living hope, right? He's a living hope. Nobody can steal that from you. No devil can snatch that from you. The word of God is your hope, right? Because his promises are yes and amen. But then we have the act of expectancy. The act of expect. You have to expect blessings. You have to expect the Lord's goodness and mercy to follow you. The Bible says that his mercy and grace are new every day in your life. If you go boldly to the throne of grace, you will receive mercy and find favor. Do you believe it? Our whole attitudes would change. If you, like for me, example, my foot with the pain. If I just focus on my pain, I get drained, I get cynical, I get irritable. But some of us do that with other things, what our kids should be doing or what my wife should be doing. And he does that to steal our joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. This is why some of us are getting drained, because we're focusing too much of all the other stuff, but if I keep my eyes on the Lord, I will be joyful because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I'll be happy when the money comes in. I'll be happy when my kid gets off of drugs. I'll be happy when my bill's paid. That's not joy. That's happiness. That's okay. It's temporary, but joy is everlasting. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him. No, Mark, it says Hebrews. Well, Jesus is the word of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So when you allow the Holy Spirit to rewire your mind, he's rewired, all things work together for the good. All pretty means, I looked it up, I'm going to mock scholars. You know what all means? All. I love when people go in the original, it's the same exact thing. Thanks, buddy. You're wasting my time. All means all. All things, whether you think it, feel it, can understand it or not, all is all things. So you could pout, you could get mad at God, you could kick rocks, but he's working it together for the good. How? By faith. If you're one of those psychos, is there any psychoanalysts around here? Analyze everything. Analyze every that cloud looks different today. Oh, no. Look at the sky. You're going to drive yourself nuts. Well, why is she acting like that? How come this is happening like that? Inspector Gadget Christians got to figure out everything. You drive yourself crazy. So we always have hope. Why? Because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. So you always have hope. He might stick you with the worst job in the world. It's for a reason. When God does something major in your life, he usually starts you off at the bottom. So when you work your way up, you can relate to everybody. You can relate to every single person that walks by. And that's how he wants you. Relatable, loving, caring. So you always have hope. All right, let's go to the heart. This is where a lot of us fail. Feelings, emotions, and affections. Genesis 22:1-2. Go ahead, Whittle Joey. The mic's not on.
It's on. It's not. Oh, there we go. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
Did the Lord ever tell you to do something goofy? Like, Lord, you promised me all these seeds, all these things, and now you're going to kill the very thing that's going to produce it. The Lord loves testing us, man. I'm telling you. I like to say, Abraham laid down his kid, but we can't lay down a cell phone. Put your cell phone where you don't look at it every 2 seconds. Put it up high. Just check your email once in a while. Check your texts here and there. Some of us are really, really, really being tested right now. And the Lord's showing me, like, whatever I can't lay down, I can't pick up. Because I'm thinking, what's Isaac doing today? Is Isaac good? Has he got enough clothes? Has he got enough sneakers? Is Isaac taken care of? Let me follow Isaac everywhere we go. If you can't lay it down, it's going to lay you down. God don't want anything controlling me. The only thing we're supposed to be controlled by is the Holy Spirit and the love of God. So he had to override his affections. You know, a lot of things God has me doing personally, but all of us doing things you don't want to do. That's where we have to crucify the flesh, deny self, and follow him and do. Sometimes we don't want to pray, but we do it anyway. Sometimes we don't want to help people, but we do it anyway. Sometimes we got to go the extra mile, not the bare minimums. May the Holy Spirit show you where you're given the bare minimums at. The extra mile. So he put Isaac on the altar, trusting God. Like, there's things in our lives that God is telling us to do. And sometimes he may tell you not to do it after all. Or sometimes might just resurrect in a different season. Whatever the case is, I learned, put it on the altar. Just put it on the altar, whatever it is. Whatever money, whatever a responsibility, whatever person, bury him. Trust me. God knows what he's doing. And Exodus, the son of Levi's, right? Moses went up to be with the Lord. This is when he came back down with the Ten Commandments. They were partying. Aaron's making golden calves. The money they got from the Egypt, they were supposed to use for the tabernacle, and they were partying with it. So what are we doing with our money? I ain't get to this point yet, but it all ties together. We're supposed to take whatever the Lord gives us and, first of all, bless him with it, bless his people. Then he understands we got things we got to take care of. But Moses came down, they were partying, and Moses said, Who is for the Lord? And the sons of Levi stood up. The only ones, the sons of Levi were the only ones that stood up and fought for the Lord. They killed a lot of Israel that day. They killed friends, neighbors, family. Now, of course, the Lord don't expect us to go around killing people. But the point is, the Lord don't want me bothering you no more. The Lord don't want me spending time with you more. The Lord don't want me at this job no more. The Lord don't want me on this block no more. The Lord wants me to move on. We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. So we are always supposed to have our emotions on the Lord's side. The Lord gives, the Lord takes, praise the name of the Lord. Aaron, too. Did you ever read about Aaron, right? God told Aaron and his kids, don't mourn for your two disobedient kids. Don't grieve for them. Now, again, God's not a monster, but sometimes he gives us extreme examples in the Bible, like Ananias and Sapphira, extreme examples that teach us you got to have your emotions under control. You got to rejoice with those who rejoice. You got to mourn with those who mourn. And some of us are so emotional. So emotional. There's nothing wrong with emotions, but I can't say, well, I'm not going to serve God. He let my brother die. I'm not going to serve God. He let my money to get attacked. I'm not going to go to church because this is not going my way. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to be around these people because they get on my nerves. No, crucify the flesh. You don't ever leave a church because of song, because of sermon. You leave a church because the Lord is leading you to lead. You don't ever break fellowship. You don't ever stop ministry with somebody. You don't ever stop working with somebody because you don't like a certain thing. You stop because it's the Lord's will, and that's it. Elijah, this is where I wish my son was here. Elisha was being called by Elijah. He was plowing his oxen, 12 of them. And their yoke. And Elijah called. He got called by God. He had to leave his family. He burnt everything up, ate it, and gave it all away. And when the Lord calls you to do something, that's it. It's time to pack your bags. It's time to move on. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Why do we love dead people so much? Why do we love family so much? There's nothing wrong with having a family, but if the Lord is calling me to do something, I got to let the dead bury the dead. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He left his whole family, burnt everything up. You know, that was the past. That's the end. I used to do that. That's no more. The Lord is calling me to do something different. Matthew 10:37-38.
He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me.
Imagine if you told your nephew, I'm not coming to the party, or your cousin, or your... I'm going to zoom in. I'm going to zoom in that party, boy. You just have the party. I'm going to sit there on the computer. Why? We would never do that for our family. But we do it for God. We do it for the Lord. Like, is he serious? Are you serious? We place our family up here. And Tegla, what did Jesus say? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Come on. Use no scripture. Those who do the Father's will are my mother and my brother. Right? Let the dead bury the dead. Just because somebody has a cake, don't mean you got to run 50 miles to go have a cake. We run quicker for cakes than we do for Jesus. We run quicker than the diner than we do for Jesus. Let the dead bury the dead. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. When I put God first, everything follows me. Everything's in order. It might not happen right now, but everything falls in the perfect place. Proverbs 4:23.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life.
Amen. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Right? We'll start at the mind again, right? Hold every thought captive, right? This is more spiritual warfare, because we're going to go in Ephesians again about putting on the armor. First, we put on the helmet of hope, the Holy Spirit. I have hope now. God could do anything. God is the beginning. God is the end. God knew about my problem before it even happened, right? So I got to watch stuff getting in my heart. Again, I could do stuff. I could go out to eat. I could buy clothes. I could have a car, but I can't let that get in my heart. I could have stuff, but I can't allow stuff to have me. It has a grip on you when you can't stop doing it. So guard my heart for the issues of life, meaning I'm going to make a decision based on jealousy. I'm going to make a decision based on competition. I'm going to base a decision based on hurt. What did David do when he heard Saul died? He wept. He wept. We can't allow things to get in our heart. It's like trash. With the mind, it's like trash too. I got to hold every thought captive to obey Christ. So it's either two ways of doing it. You could either sit there, entertain every thought that goes through your mind. That'll drive you nuts. That'll wear you out. Or you could just ignore it. Just ignore it. But if it keeps coming, suicidal thoughts, depression, prideful thoughts, tick for tack, they hurt me, so now I'm going to hurt them. No, hold on. Lord, Dad, hold that captive, Father God. Your word says, do not repay evil for evil. Do not repay evil for evil. But when Satan tries to run you into the ground, you don't entertain it. Just don't entertain it. Whatever you feed grows. Whatever you feed grows. So this is how you guard your heart. Ephesians 6:14. The breastplate of righteousness. Faith and love. We do the right thing, motivated by love and energized by faith to do the right thing. I'm doing the right thing because the Lord wants me to. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But the Lord wants me to do it. So in love, right, there is no self in love. I'm going to do it. And all things we do by faith, because the Lord said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So by faith and love, I'm going to do this. getting the trash out. See, when you guard your heart, you're blocking stuff from coming in. And we obsess over stuff, and we do stuff too much, it gets in our heart. Or what do you do when it's in there? You confess it. Lord God, I allow this hate. Father God, I allow this hate. And hate is murder, Jesus said. If you hate people, you're going to put a spirit of murder. You might not kill them outwardly, but you're killing them here. So, Lord, I have hate in my heart, Father God. I confess it. I repent of it. Then sooner or later, it goes away. But to block it from coming in, you got to be on guard. I'm guarding it. I'm not going to let racism get in my heart. I'm not going to let hate or jealousy in my heart. I'm not going to let anything negative get in my heart by putting on my blessed plate of righteousness. Love covers all sin. So when I'm walking in love, I'm forgiving. And you should forgive people even before they do it. Why walk around for 2 weeks bitter, mad, and confused, and cynical and hateful? You know what? People are going to hurt you. You're going to hurt people. If you have a hard time forgiving people, ask the Lord, God, I want to forgive them, Lord. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be bitten by the snake. I don't want this stuff coming to me. Get it out. I got to watch money, shopping, my chore list, sports, whatever it is, hurt, betrayal, unforgiveness, rejection. You know what? I feel rejected. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rebel against my family. I feel rejected at work, so I'm going to rebel against people in my work. I feel rejected at church, so now I'm going to rebel against the church. The only one that's going to suffer is you. The only one that's going to suffer is you. Now, out of all these things, this is what the Lord wants me to talk about the most. Proverbs 19:11, offenses.
The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression.
I don't know why it said transgressions. He must not put the ESV, but whatever. Transgression, sin. Overlook it. Overlook it. If you notice in the world, who pays attention goes in the world? People are so offended. You'll get killed over a parking spot these days. Somebody will kill you over a parking spot. They'll kill you. You leave a bubble gum in your car, they'll break your window and steal a piece of bubble gum out of your car. Are you serious? So that's people. But here goes the hard one. Matthew 11:6. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. This is John the Baptist, right? This is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Sin of the world. This is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. And all of a sudden, he's sitting up in prison, in a dungeon, in a dark place. Now, all of a sudden, he starts questioning God. He starts doubting God. And we all do that. We go in dark seasons. But Lord, what is going on here? If you're God, if you got all the power, if you got all the influence, what am I doing sitting up in this jail rotting away? And a sign that he was in his head, he got his head chopped off. You know, he was got in his head. Don't let the enemy get in your head. Don't let the enemy get in your head. God loves you. Like I said earlier, all things work together for the good. His goodness and mercy follow you. John the Baptist started getting offended at God. We said, God, you can fix my marriage right now. God, why aren't you fixing my marriage, Lord? God, you could have been there when my loved one died. You could have did something. You seen it happen. We start blaming God for all the stuff that happens, forgetting we're supposed to suffer. And some stuff we put on our own, like me with my ankle. I put that on myself. It was a stupid decision. But some stuff we're called to suffer. And like I said earlier, we're supposed to have full control over our emotions. That doesn't mean you're not going to have a negative emotion. Does that mean we're robots? And some people are robots. They serve the Lord like a cold turkey. They have no emotions at all. Anytime they go through a problem, they stick their head in the cave. They avoid everything, and they turn into a caveman. And they just sit there emotionless. Whoever take a picture with kids that don't want to take a picture with you, they make that stupid, unemotional face, and you want to slap them upside the head. Like, what kind of face is that? We do that with the Lord. We go to church, like, I don't really want to be here, but I am. You go to work, I don't really want to be here. I don't really want to be here. We're supposed to have emotions, but we're not allowed to let our emotions get the best of us. John the Baptist got in his head, started thinking, God's not for him. God don't love him. Why is God leaving me in this stupid dungeon? Why are you over there setting the world on fire and I'm over here? I'm the one that was telling everybody about you. Now I got to suffer. That's all nonsense. Hold them thoughts captives. Wait a minute. I'm God's child. God created me. He has plans and a hope and a future for me. This is how you fight back. Like when I was praying, we got to operate in this. We got to apply it. You know, I feel like dying. I feel like I should just kill myself. Well, the Bible says, I shall live and not die and proclaim the name of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. In him I live, I breathe, I move, I have my being. You got to fight back. Remember in school when they bully? You know when they bully? They bully the kids that don't do nothing about nothing. Once you start sticking up for yourself, they're not going to fight with you no more. That's all Satan is a punk. He's a mouse with a microphone. He's going to tell you God's never going to. You keep getting sick because God don't like you. You keep having money problems because God don't like you. No, God loves me. He gave his only son for me. So here we go with the mouth real quick. Out of the mouth your heart speaks. And some translation, out the abundance of your heart. So that means whatever in your heart, too much, you're going to start talking about. You know, you love money, so that's all you talk about. That's all you talk about. You love your sports team. That's all you talk about. You love your certain clothes line. That's all you talk about, right? This is how you check what your idol is. See what's coming out of your mouth. You know what? Jesus woke me up today. You know what? I read Jesus. I read the Word of God. I prayed to Jesus. Out of your mouth, your heart speaks. So what's coming out of your mouth? You could either curse God, not God. Well, God, so you could curse blessings or cursings out of your mouth. And that's why, watch before you speak. That's why God gave us one mouth and two ears. You speaking negativity over your kids? Are you speaking negativity over your money? Are you speaking negativity over your life? Are you speaking negativity over your marriage? Or are you speaking life? And say, yeah, you know what? The Lord didn't pay me yet, but he's coming. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. The Lord cares about me. He's coming through. You know what? I didn't get healed yet, but it's healing slowly. He didn't heal me yet. If he don't heal me, he's going to give me the grace to still fulfill my responsibilities. You know what? I didn't talk to my son in years, but he's a restorer. And if he restores me, great. But I'm more concerned about his eternal salvation and me having a relationship with him. So until I see him again, I'm going to pray that he's eternally saved. But even if the Lord don't give him back to me, I'm still not going to serve Satan. I'm still not going to bow down. I'm still going to do the right thing. Right? Here we go with money. Don't shoot me. Malachi 3:10-11. Me personally, I like money scriptures because I need it. I need money. God understands. I can't call, Walmart. I can't really pay you today. I serve Jesus, so talk to him. You know what, Amazon? I ain't paying you. Beat it. I serve Jesus. You pay him. God understands. Buy my favorite cologne. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Versace. You're beat. I serve Jesus. I ain't gonna pay for nothing. God understands. The 10% just represents it all. That's us. God, I gave you it all. But God knows we need money to get stuff done. Yeah, Joey.
Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts.
Now, some people say, this is Old Testament. I mean, I could live this stuff. I could give testimony after testimony after testimony. Jesus said never to tithe. He said, first do love. First do justice. Then you do the other things. Then you tithe. But don't put the money aspect above love, above justice. Like, it's a bottom fold. This is the bottom, but it's very important. Look at these promises, right? Notice, God didn't say give your tithe. What did he say? It's not yours to give. So that extra money that you get, you should have never got. God trusted you for it to bring it, right? It is the only scripture in the whole Word of God. Where are my word nerds at? The whole Bible. God says, test me on this. the only scripture in the whole Bible. You look it up yourself, go to Greek, go to Hebrew, do whatever you got to do. It's the only scripture God says, test me on this. And if the Lord says, test me on this, I'm going to test him on it. And it works. I can give testimony, washers, dryers, break it, hot water heaters. Before I became the pastor here about a year and a half ago, I lost my job. My ceiling fell through, a pipe busted. I lost my hot water heater busted. All this crazy stuff in 1 week, in less than a week. It's probably really a few days. And someone bought my hot water heater. People gave me money to fix my the ceiling. Helped me out until I got a job. And I know God, when you provide for his house, he's going to provide for your house. God, there's nobody more faithful for the Lord. There's nobody more generous than the Lord. And we went on our vacation, in July? It seems like 100 years ago. And I was getting attacked. My house was getting attacked, money problems. And we're going on vacation. I'm like, Lord, you allowed us now. You know I need money to go down the shore, right? God's funny. He doesn't test you when you want to be tested. You notice that? He tests you at the most craziest times in the world. Like, Lord, you're calling me now to do this? Now? So we're going down the shore, and I'm having all these house problems. The Lord tells me, I have these ministries. Like, I'm going to get into that next. You should know where your money's going. Tithing's just the beginning. We got to get water, pay the bills, provide for other ministries. But you got to ask God, where's my money going? I can't. My money goes where glory goes or where he's going. Our money, it can be similar. And I will tell you personally where my money, what ministries they go to. So God told me, give $200 to this one ministry. All right, Lord, I'll do it by faith. And the Lord deals with me all the time. Anytime I have a problem, he tells me to give something what I need. Always give out your need. So I gave $200, right, to a certain ministry. Very next day, somebody Venmo me $200. Oh, the Lord put you on our heart, a married couple, very, very, very nice people. I'm like, all right, Lord, cool. I gave $200, got 100, thanks. I really didn't earn nothing, but I didn't gain nothing out of it, but at least I got a testimony out of it. A few days after that, somebody gave me $500. I was, thank you, Lord. So he had to give me the seed back, the seed, the $200, then he gave me the $500. Right? This stuff works. I could give testimonies, I'm telling you. Washers, dryers, clothes, kids' jackets, sneakers.
$100 bills that we find on the ground. Yeah, give your test. All right, real quick. This was just a few weeks ago. So we are doing that thing that we all signed up for. Well, some of us did, for praying one day a week for a certain amount of time, have a prayer partner. So me and Mark are prayer partners. We pray together at 4 in the morning on Fridays. That's our slot, time slot.
3:30,
right, 4. So we pray, and Mark starts praying over me that God would provide, and not just provide for me because I need something. I didn't need anything, but so that I could sow a seed, because we both like to be able to give. So Mark starts praying, Lord, I pray, you know, that you provide Joey with a seed so that she can sow in somebody's life. And he specified $100. That same day, we go to Aldi's with the kids. And I'm messing around in the bread aisle. Mark's like, just come on, hurry up. We turn the aisle. I look down, $100 bill right on the ground. And that's not the first time that has happened. But it was like that same day. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy.
Praise God. I'm telling you, this stuff works. This stuff works. God gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. Do not sow your food. Don't eat your seed. Notice the difference. Discern. So, Lord, ask the Lord, where's my money going? Where's my time going? Where's my strength going? What am I supposed to be doing? I want to be totally aligned, holy alignment with heaven. All right, that was Malachi. Now, we did the time. All right, Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Now, they were talking about money. I could give to show off. I gave to Gloria so Charlie could see me. Or I gave to Cynthia so I could go and tell everybody now. I gave to my wife. Now I went and announced it up the street. Jesus always said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. If you love to tell people what you do, then that's your reward, the Bible says. You're not going to get blessed for it. By you telling people and wanting recognition, wanting praise, wanting to show off, whether you're competing with somebody, that is your reward. So do nothing out of selfish ambition. It has a lot to do with money. I don't give to control people. You know, I was in the world. I sold drugs. I know all about giving to control people. I would put a lot of drugs in people's houses to control them. I know all about giving to get. I know all about that stuff. We don't use money as a tool to control people. We don't use money as a tool to bribe people. We use money to bring God glory and help each other. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. 2 Corinthians 9:7.
So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
A cheerful giver! You know why we can give cheerfully? Because even if I'm giving you my last, God's going to bless me again. Don't treat God like he's never going to do nothing for you again. If I have to give you a ride, you're out of my way. Praise God. God will make up for that time. God controls time. God has time in his hands. When you give somebody a ride or you give somebody something, I got to help you again, bro. Get out of my face. How many times are you going to, come on. God loves a cheerful giver. So you don't give begrudgingly, and you don't give because you're obsessed or you feel pressured to do so. You give to glorify God. All right, that was that. Time is never on my side, but praise God. Ephesians 5:16, Amplified.
Redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
I mean, are you a good steward of your time? Are you a good steward with your money? Are you a good steward with your ministry? Are you a good steward with your body? Are you, whatever it is. But this says redeem the time. I was reading in the Amplified, but it says buying back. Like, why would, we all know what redeem means, to buy back. Why do I have to buy back? Because it's a sacrifice. But don't always focus what you do. Focus on Christ. Don't focus on me being holy. Focus on Christ as my holiness. Don't focus on my righteousness. Focus on Christ as my righteousness. Always focus on Christ. Christ redeemed us. He set us free. So now we're living on borrowed time. This ain't my time. This is God's time. Am I going to play around on God's time? I'm not playing around on God's time. Redeem is buy, sacrifice. My money is my sacrifice. My energy is my sacrifice. Redeem the time. Moses said, I think it's Moses, Psalm 90. They don't know for sure, Moses or David. Count the days, right? Or make the days count. Make it count so you can have a heart full of wisdom. We need wisdom. We need to make it count. I want to be effective. My one prayer is always to be fruitful and effective. I want to be that guy who catches 10 balls. Well, sometimes it's important. You can't make a couple yards, but I want to be effective. I want everything I do to count. Now, the old me, if it wasn't big, it had to be big. Preaching to a couple people, no, I want to preach to 1,000. Like, my flesh always liked big. And when I came to the Lord, he changed my name to Micro Mark. Everything is small. Everything is little. Everything seems like it's not important. But if you're doing it for God, everything is important. Don't focus on the amount, how big, it's small, it's important, it's not important. If you're cleaning the bathroom, do it with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. If you're helping people, do it with everything you have. Treat every day as a gift. Avoid dead works and wasting your time. We're allowed to watch TV, but am I sitting in front of TV for hours upon hours upon hours? I'm allowed to go shopping, but is that all I ever want to do? I got to wrap it up soon. Galatians 5:13.
For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another.
Amen. We're here to serve. We are here to serve. The Levites were servants. We are Levites. We serve God. We serve people. And it's going to tie in with the heart again. You serve what you love. You love your family, you're going to serve your family. You love money, you're going to serve money. You love people, you're going to serve people. There's nothing wrong with the all above, but my love has to go through the cross. My love has to go through God. My love has to put God first, because if I'm not putting first, I'm trying to love everybody else. It's not real love. It's fleshly love. It's fleshly love. We are free to serve. We're not free to sin. We are free not to sin, and you serve what you love. Do not waste your time. Do not use your freedom. Well, I'm under God's grace, so I could just do what I want. I could live how I want. The Bible says shun even the appearance of evil. Even the appearance of it, shun it. So I probably could have stretched it out long, but I talked long enough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching us to be good stewards of what you've given us. Lord, if our heart's not right, Lord, we're going to be jacked up. If our minds are not right, we're going to be messed up. Lord, you want our money right. You want our time to be right. So, Father God, I pray you show us anything we're not doing that we need to be doing, anything that we're doing too much, and anything we need to stop doing, Father God, I pray you expose it. Lord, if there's any jealousy in us, Lord, help us to expose it. Show us where we need to make the adjustments. Of course, every little thing wasn't for me, but what do I need to deal with? You say out of the mouth flows the heart, Father, to help us, Father, to get our hearts right. Lord, our thoughts go to where our emotions go, Father. So if we're in bondage to anything, any people, any places, any hatred, whatever it is, Father God, I pray right now that you break the cords of the wicked in our life. You break the teeth of the wicked. You break the arm of the wicked in our life, Father God. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us. You destroy all the works of the devil, Lord God. The enemy will be like wax before the fire, perish at your presence, Father. Deliver us so we can get our minds right, so we can have the peace that surpasses all understanding, so we can love you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, so we can have money, Lord. If we don't have any money, Lord God, and you're testing our money, Father God, I pray, Father God, you provide for all of our needs. Whatever we're wasting our time with, Father God, show us, Lord God, to cut it off. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.